Welcome to the America's Workforce Radio Podcast, the flagship production of the American Workers Radio and Podcast Network, where organized labor and its never-ending fight to protect the rights of the American worker come first. Now, presented by LIUNA, Laborers International Union of North America, here's your host, Ed Flash Ferens.
What do Americans want? Well, two things. Bring more jobs back and get tougher with China. A new report from the Alliance for American Manufacturing. Today on the show, the American Federation of Government Employees, and we check in with Teamsters Local 777 in the state of Illinois. Welcome to the Wednesday, June 14th edition of America's Workforce, where we are available on at least six platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Pandora, and Stitcher. Johnny Jones is going to be our first guest on the show today. We had him on the show a couple of months back. He's been with the Transportation Security Administration for over 20 years. Started there in 2002. And since 2018, he has served as the council's secretary treasurer. He is also the treasurer for AFGE Local 1040, and he's had that position since 2014. Got some good news coming out of the Federation. AFGE members at TSA Council 100 will now have even more of a say in their workplace, and this is all thanks to a recently reached memorandum of agreement between the union and the TSA. The agreement expands the amount of official time granted to Council 100 members and provides workspaces for union reps at most locals. This is very, very monumental. You may recall in the previous administration how heavy-handed that administration was to government unions. This is a 180 turnaround, no doubt about it. So Council 100 will now go from having 12 union reps to represent 40,000 TSOs to 193 members across the nation with dedicated workspaces covering the majority of America's airports. Got that? Going from 12 to 193. Johnny Jones is quoted in the press release, which is on the national website, afge.org, the accessibility to union representation just went through the roof. It's been a pretty good year for TSA Council 100 because last year in the budget reconciliation package, they got about $400 million, which finally brought up the pay of TSA workers, who for the most part were making like maybe $30,000 a year, topping out at mid-40s, maybe 47. This is after like 25 years on the job. A lot of people just didn't stay with it. And who would? Who would? That's a long day, and you're not making much pay. So Johnny's going to talk about that. While we're talking about AFGE, there's also some good news. After over 5 years, of unwavering dedication, members of the National VA Council have ratified the 2023 Master Agreement with the Veterans Administration. This significant achievement showcases the relentless pursuit of a contract prioritizing VA employees as well as veterans. The new agreement, according to the union, is pretty remarkable. It not only preserves 99% of the agreement going back to 2011, but also modernizes what's called Article 23, focusing on Title V merit promotion. Good stuff there. You can read more on that at afge.org. Our second guest on the show is Christopher Smith, and he's based just outside of Chicago, and he is a business agent with Teamsters Local 777. And they're pretty good local. They got about 3,000 members there, give or take a few. Chris is a young guy. He's under 30 years of age. He loves his job and loves Local 777, which has a storied history. In the 1930s, Joe Glimco was an organizer and co-founder of two unions, the poultry handlers and the poultry drivers and fish handlers. By 1937, Joe shifted gears and helped found Chicago's Taxi Cab Drivers Union, which turned into Local 777. Joe Glimko was named principal officer of the union in 1952, which represented, at the time, more than 5,000 cab drivers. And that was about 1958. In the decade since, the union has represented a variety of other workers and is the only Teamsters union in Chicago representing barbers. And right now, Joe's grandson, James T. Glimko, is the president of Local 777. Now, Chris is going to talk about unionization in the cannabis industry, which is a booming industry, not just in Illinois, but around the country. And it's important that safeguards are in place. We have done a number of shows on cannabis dust and how that can trigger an asthma attack. In fact, we did a feature on this some weeks ago with an investigative reporter out of Massachusetts on a woman who was about 27, 28 years of age. Never had asthma or anything like that, but it triggered an attack, and she died. She died working in that cannabis factory. Why unionize with the Teamsters? Well, Chris will talk about that. He'll also talk about the new leadership with Sean O'Brien. Teamsters.org, national website. Teamsters777.org is a website for Chris Smith. And now a brief look into the world of labor. This segment brought to you by the good folks at Boyd Watterson Asset Management. While the Biden administration and Congress have made historic, and I mean historic, investments in our infrastructure and manufacturing, there's some new polling out showing that American voters, by a margin of 70% across the board, want the federal government to do even more to bring manufacturing back to the U.S. and at the same time, get tougher on China. 9 in 10 voters, 87%, agree that the federal government should crack down on unfair trade. 4 in 5 voters, 82%, think that the federal government should offer manufacturers incentives to relocate their factories to the U.S., which is happening. Additionally, 78% of voters say the federal government should be required to buy American with its own purchases. Now, despite a flurry of major manufacturing announcements and a boom in factory construction, only about a third of voters have seen, read, or heard about new factories coming to their community and the United States. Isn't that something? That message is just not getting out. And that's why we have this show. You need to know that those jobs are coming back. They're not all back, but this administration is doing it. Scott Paul is the president of the Alliance for American Manufacturing. This is what he said. American voters have made it clear that the federal government must do more to bring valuable manufacturing jobs back to the U.S. Voters support stringent measures on China, including tariffs, outbound investment bans, and reforming a number of laws, measures that Congress and the administration can and should act upon. He goes on to say, over the past 2 years, the U.S. has taken very serious steps toward bolstering American competitiveness through investment in domestic manufacturing. But the impacts have not yet hit home with communities across the country. Only a third of voters say they have seen their region's benefit. There is a real opening for Congress and the Biden administration to continuously emphasize the progress that has been made and follow through on additional manufacturing, trade, and Buy American policies. He goes on to say that voters clearly understand the importance of strengthening American manufacturing. Policymakers would be wise to listen to them and continue to enact policy that supports factory workers and American industry. Some of the key findings in the poll: a majority of voters, 59%, support reforming customs law to include shipments valued below $800. Half the voters, 51%, agree Congress should increase tariffs imposed on China in response to unfair trade practices. 21% of voters say the tariffs imposed on China should be kept at their current level. And when you go across party lines, voters overwhelmingly, 76%, agree that the federal government should be able to prohibit American companies from investing in manufacturing abroad when U.S. security is at risk. That is so important. Why are we investing in countries that don't like us? Does not make sense. Not at all. AmericanManufacturing.org for more on that wonderful organization, also a proud sponsor of America's Workforce. In other news, an NLRB judge issued a very broad cease and desist order prohibiting managers at a Starbucks in Wichita, Kansas, from interfering with workers' organizing drives, citing the company's proclivity for violating the National Labor Relations Act. The judge found that Starbucks managers illegally threatened to cut hours, deprive workers of benefits, and close its hiring portal. Why? Because the employees wanted to go union. That company will not stop. Will not stop. Meanwhile, Ben & Jerry's has voluntarily recognized its Scoopers United Union after a card check officiated by a Vermont state rep. In doing so, Ben & Jerry's, which touts itself as socially conscious, breaks with its progressive peers like Starbucks and Trader Joe's, who continue to engage in old school union busting. And we got to do a salute here for Pennsylvania's House of Representatives. Last week, they passed a resolution declaring, and I guess they're going to do this every year, from June 5th to June 9th would be Union Organizing Week. The resolution honors workers who have fought for their right to organize and bargain collectively. Though symbolic, the resolution, H.R. 60, is sparking some debate in the Pennsylvania legislature around which party better supports the working class and labor unions. Now, the Republicans argue that the state's slow-moving steel mill permitting process and the regional greenhouse gas initiative are costing the state thousands of jobs, and the Democrats are countering, saying that support for oil and gas companies should not be equated with support of the union and union jobs. You try to do something and it still causes some controversy. All right, a quick break. When we come back, we're going to go to Fort Worth, Texas. Check in with Johnny Jones, Secretary Treasurer of AFGE TSA Council 100. Back in a few minutes.
This is America's Workforce. More shows available at awfradio.com.
It takes LIUNA to build North America's infrastructure. From roads and bridges to schools and skyscrapers, the men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, build the projects we depend on. From constructing the Freedom Tower on the site of the former World Trade Center to untangling Washington, D.C.'s congested interstate, LIUNA members do the work that matters. Find out what it takes to be built by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
We're the nurses, firefighters, and claims representatives that help keep our government services running. We respond to natural disasters. We care for our nation's veterans. And we investigate discrimination in the workplace. We are federal and D.C. government workers. And we are proud to serve the American people. Working in more than 70 agencies across the government, we know we can fulfill our mission because our union has our back. Learn more at AFGE.org. Paid for by the American Federation of Government Employees, AFL-CIO. America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the Communication Workers of America. You can find more at CWA-Union.org.
From the Golden Gate Bridge to the St. Louis Gateway Arch, the Sears Tower, and just about every building, bridge, and structure in between, our cities and towns wouldn't be the same without iron workers. With over 3,000 contractors employing more than 130,000 highly trained iron workers and 20,000 apprentices, the Iron Workers Union stands ready and able to shape the future of our skylines. Learn more at ironworkers.org. Iron Workers, the sky's the limit.
America's Workforce is presented by the Laborers International Union of North America. Feel the power right now at liuna.org.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferens with America's Workforce.
And remember, you can check us out on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. That would be AWF Union Podcast. By the way, this portion of America's Workforce brought to you in part by iMed. Switching to managed vision care may save your fund money and deliver a better experience. So here's what you do. Go to imed.com/union and you will learn a whole lot more. All right, let's go to Fort Worth, Texas right now. Joining us on line number one is Johnny Jones. Johnny is with the Transportation Security Administration. He started there over 20 years ago. And since August of 2018, he has served as Secretary Treasurer of Local 100, which represents, well, there's 44,000 in the bargaining unit, 22,000 dues-paying members, and this is across the country. It's a big unit. They got a pay raise at the beginning of the year, and there's more good news, which we talked about. We're going to hear that from Johnny Jones. Johnny, how are we doing today, brother?
Oh, we're doing great. We're doing great down here in Texas. Very excited to be on your show today, and I want to say thank you for the kind words. I'm the Council 100 Secretary Treasurer, and it's an honor to serve the people, the hardworking people of the TSA.
And you finally got that pay raise, too. Well, we'll talk about that in a little bit, but I want to talk about this memorandum of agreement between your union and the TSA, which is going to really beef up union representation. Can you talk to me about that process, how difficult that was to achieve, and what it's going to mean for Council 100? Go ahead.
Yes, over the last 20 years, you know, the TSA officers did not have any official time employees to assist them, bargaining union representatives that would assist them with the issues on the floor. It was always people working off duty or, you know, hiding in the closet, so to speak, to try to assist members at the beginning. And over the transition of time, in 2010, when we got our first round of collective bargaining rights, we had two people out of 44,000 employees that would have official time to help out the employees. But now, since we do have this new memorandum of agreement, our official time is approaching 190 or so people that will be able to assist the 44,000 bargaining employees of the Transportation Security Administration, which is a tremendous increase, and including about 75,000 hours of ad hoc official time, which would allow us to represent the employees. You'll be able to see the union representatives more freely. You'll be able to get questions and answers, and you won't have to necessarily feel so afraid by some of your management officials, because you're like, oh, I don't know where my union representative is. But now mm-hmm. the union representative is going to be more available to the workforce. And this was a huge fight, tremendous victory for all employees, and a big win for unions to actually become. We were told by AFG that this is the most official time that's ever been granted by an agency, based on the amount of employees we have. So I was like, well, I don't know how that works, but that's a pretty big achievement and a great testament to the hard work of the Council 100 to achieve this for the workforce.
Now, Johnny, I know the previous administration was, for lack of a better term, not very union friendly. And that was really some tough times for AFGE. I'm just wondering, when Biden took office, is this when this started, saying, hey, you know, we got to get some better representation here? Can you kind of walk me through that process on when it started, how difficult it was to get from where we are today?
Oh, yeah. With the previous administration was very detrimental to unions around the United States. And most importantly, federal workplace unions were decimated under the Trump administration. And immediately upon the swearing in office, President Biden started rolling back some of those attacks on the federal workforce and unions in general. And it was an immediate thing. But for the TSA and specifically, it really started changing when Secretary Mayorkas gave the instructions to the TSA Administrator Pekoske to put the TSOs on a more Title V-like world. And for people that understand, Title V is what most agencies operate under, especially DHS. It includes official time, the general schedule pay, MSPB rights, Merit System Protection Board, and FLRA rights, fair labor practices and other things. Now, some of those things we have not achieved yet, but we've gotten a lot of those things done. But under President Biden, it has been a pretty swift process. It may have seemed like it was slow, but now things are picking up some speed and things are happening very quickly. And I do want to give an appreciative out to the administrator who has been working very diligently with Congress to secure the funding for the workforce so we could get these rights and also have the funding for the collective bargaining along with the union. But I do have to say that the administrator has definitely played a big part at this point to assist the union in achieving these goals and also President Biden's initiatives.
Now, it's my understanding, too, that these members now, there'll be 193 of them, and goes from 12 to 193. They'll be all across the nation, and there will be dedicated workspaces, which will be, I understand, in number of the airports. Is that pretty accurate?
Yes. So every person who's going to be serving on 100% official time will be given a workspace at their home airport. So, for instance, I'm at DFW. So I will have a workspace in conjunction with the DFW airport. So it'd be like the same thing if you're in Nashville, Tennessee, I have an office in Nashville. If you're at LAX, you have an office at LAX. And that's for each person that's on official time, but each person will have a workspace, similar to what a management official would have available to them. So for once, we'll be on equal footing.
Mm-hmm.
So an officer would be like, hey, meet me at the union office. They'll be like, okay, I know exactly where that's at. Because right now, the current amount of space for TSA office, unions is still very limited and restricted. But that's one of the another tremendous victories that we have is the creation of more office space for the union officials performing these duties.
Johnny, let me ask you, when will this happen? I know the announcement just came out last Monday, I believe it was. But, you know, going from 12 to 193, I mean, that's going to take a little work to accomplish. What's the timeline here?
The official timeline is mid-July. However, it's just like they may have to add, and they may start you out with a cubby hole, you know, a cubby space as they acquire more offices. You know, if you guys are familiar with government, you have to go through the General Services Agency, GSA, to procure the office space necessary, especially in some of the airports, there's very limited space. But believe it or not, it seems as if the agency's taking extreme action to make sure they get this done.
That's awesome.
And pretty rapidly too. So, and they've been extremely friendly, and we've been working with the agency to make sure this is accomplished.
A new day at the TSA, no doubt about that. I love that. Johnny Jones joining us on our live line today is with the American Federation of Government Employees Council 100. And we're talking 44,000 TSA agents in the country and 22,000 of them dues-paying members. That's how it works in the federal government. We'll continue our conversation with Johnny later in the show. We're going to go just outside Chicago and join Chris Smith on behalf of Teamsters Local 777. They're doing a lot of organizing at cannabis stores. That more back in a few minutes right here on America's Workforce.
You're listening to America's Workforce with Ed Flash Ferens.
It takes LIUNA to power North America with affordable energy. The men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, have the skills needed to build and maintain oil, natural gas, nuclear, solar, and wind projects that are shaping America's energy future. From new energy tech to retrofitted facilities, LIUNA members do it all. Find out what it takes to be powered by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the Heat and Frost Insulators Labor Management Cooperative Trust. Find out more at insulators.org/LMCT.
There is unity and strength for workers.
We are the USW.
We are the USW.
The United Steelworkers.
The largest industrial union in North America.
We represent 850,000 members in the U.S., Canada, and the Caribbean.
We work in metals,
rubber,
chemicals,
paper,
oil refining,
atomic energy,
and the service sector.
We are steelworkers, standing strong and fighting for what's right.
You're listening to America's Workforce, and this next segment brought to you by the North Coast Labor Federation.
America's Workforce Radio is sponsored in part by the International Union of Painters and Allied Trades, District Council 6, representing painters, glazers, drywall finishers, and sign and display industry workers. They remind you that belonging to a union is your right as an American.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the Iron Workers. You can find more at ironworkers.org.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And remember, you can check us out on at least six platforms. That includes Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Pandora, and Stitcher. And when you get an opportunity, here's what you do. Just sign up. You'll receive our shows on a regular basis and give us a rating. We always appreciate those five-star ratings. We're getting a whole lot more of those. And remember this. If you like a show, please share the show. We count the downloads, and we are doing really well. Top 10% of all podcasts, not just in America, but around the world, heard in 11 countries. Biggest listening in Canada, 9 out of 12 provinces there. Let's go back to Fort Worth, Texas. And joining us today is Johnny Jones. This is on behalf of our national sponsor, American Federation of Government Employees. He is Secretary Treasurer of AFGE TSA Council 100. Johnny, remember having you on the show some months back. You were jumping up and down. It's been a pretty good year for you so far. And I know in this administration, and this took a long time. First of all, it took, maybe 9 years to get collective bargaining rights. That came under the Obama administration, because I remember when the TSA was formed right after 9/11. Oh, no union, can't do that. So you got that done. And then finally, you got a pay raise from the last session of Congress. Now, what's the status of that? I guess that has not taken effect yet. Can you explain that part?
Welcome to the government budgeting process. So they had the pay raise was for this fiscal year, but it was not funded until the fourth quarter of the governmental fiscal year, which ends September 30th. So the pay raise will take effect July the 1st. So CSO should see their new pay sometime in late July. I think it's July 22nd. But it has been one heck of a fight to get this pay increase. It's one of the largest pay increases in the history of the federal employees. It's because it's a long time coming. Our counterparts, we were so far behind our counterparts and other agencies as far as pay. And, of course, we were bleeding people. The agency would hire 10,000, and they would lose 10,000. And this was going on for years and years and years. You know, I remember during a meeting we had one time, at headquarters, and they were like, yeah, we hired 10,800, we lost 10,500 or somewhere of that nature. And I was like, well, we added 300 people. So that's how many people are being hired, because the pay was so draconian. We were under what they call pay for performance. And we were the first federal agency to be drafted up under this new plan that was supposed to be under the Bush administration, the greatest thing since sliced bread. Obviously, it was not the greatest thing since sliced bread, because if you're aware, government doesn't like to give money to, unless you're some kind of a lobbyist and you're able to secure unbelievable amounts of money for whatever kind of pork spending program you have. And they always forgot about us, the TSA officers, the guys that were protecting the skies. And thank goodness that when under the Biden administration, that was one of the very, that was in his very first budget request as president. So it did come second budget request as president, but it did come very quickly. The average TSO is looking like a 30% pay increase. And yet again, this year, there's lots of squabbling about, okay, are we going to allow this money to stay in the budget? Which people were like, you can't believe that. But we have bipartisan support to protect the pay for the TSA officers, the frontline workforce. And of course, you know, all indications are that we're going to be able to keep the full funding necessary to keep the pay raises for all the agency employees, but most importantly, the people that we represent, the 44,000 bargaining employees of the TSA. The Biden administration has also been one of the most friendliest for unions, and most importantly, if you're a federal employee, your workplace is getting better. Like the VA just ratified a new contract. We are entering into collective bargaining negotiations next week formally. To address our contract, we went from 13 articles down. We're going to be moving to more conventional full collective bargaining, which could, you know, be 40 or 50 articles. So the pay raise is huge. Full collective bargaining, check mark. We have made tremendous strides for the workforce, and this is an awesome time to be a TSA officer. In fact, I'm allowing my son to apply for the job because I told him before, you're never working here unless I know this is a different place to work.
Wow. Good for you. Good for you. Yeah, you mentioned the VA. I talked about that at the top of the show. That took 5 years. That took 5 years to get that contract together. And like you said, it doesn't work too quickly in the government. It takes time. Now, the pay raise you talked about, does that happen all at once? Is it incremental? What's the story on that?
It's going to be a one-time and slap across, and then we'll be under a GS-like pay system. So you'll get your statutory increases just like other general schedule employees. It'll be mirrored to a general schedule. It's not like the general. It is a general schedule, but it's the TSA version because we're still under ATSA. We have not been granted Title V rights yet in the law, and we're still fighting to get that done. So that would put us fully converted over to the GS pay system and other things. But the system we're going to is GS-like. It's the exact same thing. It's just the agency version of it.
Yeah. Johnny, you mentioned keeping the people working. And obviously, the low pay, why would you stay there? And to your point, I'm just wondering now, do people realize that pay is going to go up, and are we going to, you know, attract more workers to work as in the TSA?
Yes, all indications are that the employees that are coming on board are very excited to stay with the agency for and making this a career job, career employment. In the past, the TSA was more like a stepping stone. You open the door to get into federal government, and I'm out of here in a year. And at one point, the average tenure was, you know, say 4 or 5 years for an employee. Now we're looking to make this a place where you come work. You're going to get sworn in as a TSA officer, and you're going to. We hope that you stay here for 25 to 30 years and become a career employee. In the past, people are like, you're going to hit that glass ceiling after your second year, and as far as pay goes, and now you'll be able to continue to progress as an officer. And you know, we're still going to continue to fight for other things in regards to the pay, but this is a great starting point to get these people to want to make this a career. Where in the past, it was definitely not.
Yeah, yeah. You got to do that. You got to increase the pay. You got to give better benefits because people today, and the pandemic really showcased that. And they're saying, you know what? This is not worth it. I'm going elsewhere. Come on now. We should mention the website, too. It's AFGE Council 100, AFGEcouncil100.org. We're speaking with Johnny Jones, who is the Council 100 Secretary Treasurer, had that position since 2018. A couple minutes left here. Anything you want to call attention to for listeners to be aware of? Yeah, you know, negotiations, as you pointed out, they're always going on. Issues are always coming up. Just wondering, is there anything that we should be aware of, Johnny?
Well, first of all, it's a busy summer coming up.
Yeah.
And the TSA officers are doing their best to make sure that people are able to travel safely. As you're aware, you know, the pay system is still implemented, so there might be some staffing issues at some airports. You know, so always remember the TSA officers are working very hard for you. And like we're working very hard for them right now, fighting for making sure the contract's right. So we're asking that, you know, the people be patient when they go through the airport. You know, we are humans just like everybody else, and we work the checkpoint diligently, and we have to make sure that we follow security procedures no matter what the line looks like outside. And also for the folks out there listening, the union across the United States, they're growing. We're organizing. It's a great time to be a labor activist. We are under a friendly of Biden administration yet again, for not just for TSA, but for all the other unions out there. Like Starbucks is organizing. There's organizations organizing that never organized before.
Right.
It's a great opportunity to be a part of this reformation for unions. At one point, national rates of union membership were down to 9%. Back in the 60s, it was 40%. So we need to fight to continue to grow unions across the United States, because unions are the foundation for the middle class to bring equality across the United States and to grow a middle class that allows us to maintain the hard fights and things that we've earned and respected. Most people don't realize your benefits are under attack. Sick time, vacation time. These are just the corporations, health insurance. All these things are under attack all the time. And the unions are the people that are going to keep it on the balance. So that's what people, you know, I would like to pass along to the listeners today, just as a general, not just for the TSA, but for labor unions across the United States. When those guys were striking, we need to go out there and support General Motors. We need to support the Nabisco employees. If the airlines were going to have to go on strike, we need to support those brothers and sisters also, because this is the time for us to organize and grow labor and make it a permanent fixture again in the United States.
Well said, my man. Johnny Jones, Secretary Treasurer, AFGE Council, TSA Council 100, and he's based in Fort Worth, Texas. Stay strong, stay safe, brother, and we'll talk down the road, I promise, okay?
Thank you.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Christopher Smith is a business agent with Teamsters Local 777 just outside Chicago, and he will be coming up next.
This is America's Workforce.
It takes LIUNA to keep America running. Over 70,000 public employees are part of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, delivering critical services such as health care and emergency response, as well as maintaining roads and sanitation systems. Even the National Postal Mail Handlers Union, representing over 47,000 U.S. postal workers, is affiliated with LIUNA. Find out what it takes for LIUNA to keep America running at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
The Heat and Frost Insulators and Allied Workers are proud to be a title sponsor for America's Workforce Radio. The Insulators Union is leading the way in the mechanical insulation industry, fire stopping, and infectious disease control. Regarded as North America's energy conservation specialists, these professionals are known for their professional work and dedication. You can learn more about the Insulators Union at insulators.org. America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the United Steelworkers. You can find more at usw.org.
You'd like to upgrade your fund's vision care, but you need to roll back the clock on the cost. Roll it back to the 70s. iMed offers members 76% average savings versus retail on eye exams, glasses, and contacts. Enjoy similar benefits to an indemnity plan, but with consistent savings and a better experience. Endorsed by the National Labor Alliance, iMed takes a consultative approach to tailor your vision insurance benefits. Learn more at iMed.com/union. Figures based on client data. Visit iMed.com/union for more details.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the United Auto Workers. Find more at UAW.org.
You're listening to America's Workforce, and this upcoming segment is brought to you by the Ohio Federation of Teachers. Check them out online at OFT-AFT.org.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferens with America's Workforce.
And remember, you can check us out on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. Real simple, AWF Union Podcast, AWF Union Podcast. And remember this, if you like a show, please share that show, because our sponsors like to know how many downloads we're getting, and we're getting more sponsors because of those downloads. So go to awfpodcast.com, and we are growing. 3 years now podcasting, and we are being heard right now in 49 out of 50 states. We got downloads. We got one more state to work on, number 50, coming soon. And in 11 countries, our biggest listening audience is in Canada, 9 of the 12 provinces there. And we're in the top 10% of all podcasts. So we are chugging along. Right now, let's go to the Chicago area. And joining us on our live line is Christopher Smith. Christopher is a business agent of Teamsters Local 777. Lucky sevens there. Teamsters777.org is your website. Quite a storied history. They started back in 1937, and they were founded to help Chicago's taxicab drivers. And at one time, this was during the 50s, they represented more than 5,000 cab drivers. That's a significant amount. That's not the case today. I mean, Uber and Lyft has changed the whole industry, so they had to diversify. And one of the things they're doing now is organizing the cannabis industry. Chris Smith, welcome to America's Workforce. Thanks for joining us today. Talk to me a little bit about the numbers in your local right now and who you're actually representing. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for having me. We have currently Local 777, a variety of different cannabis companies. We have majority is bus drivers, and then some manufacturing facilities. Our numbers are somewhere around the 3,000 mark right now, you know, to be exact. But it's definitely diversified since the taxis, and you know, we're continuing to grow.
And how long have you been with Teamster Local 777?
I've been on, with them for a year now.
Okay. Okay. What got you in there?
So I worked at Verilife in Romeoville, in which I helped, you know, bring in the Teamsters in the first, you know, vote for a union at that store. It was between UFCW and the Teamsters. You know, we ended up getting that election. And then after I was voted on through the store as the part of the negotiation committee, you know, we had five storefronts in this, you know, contract negotiation. And then soon thereafter, the Teamsters Local 777 president decided, you know, that they needed a business agent and pulled me out from that location, from the committee, you know, and through a vote, I ended up obtaining this position.
Good, good. How many business agents are there in Teamsters 777?
There is about four, but specifically for cannabis, just me.
Okay, let's talk about the cannabis industry. I know it is growing, no pun intended, but I'm hearing good things. I'm hearing bad things, too. We did a show recently about some of these facilities with the cannabis, the dust that's causing asthma attacks and workers. There's one worker that died. This was in the state of Massachusetts, but what's the situation over there in the Chicago area, and how well are you doing with organizing the industry?
Well, some of the main issues are, you know, making these cannabis jobs into cannabis careers. You know, we have a large number of jobs that have popped up. Our local, you know, specifically right now is representing a lot of the dispensaries. So you wanted to say, you know, concerns beyond just their, you know, ability to have a long-term, you know, career, you know, retirement contributions, you know, livable wages, you know, is the safety aspect through their security, you know, and just ensuring that, you know, one of the fights has been trying to get armed guards at all the facilities. We found that it's going to be more or less through the legislation, whether it's county or state wide, but definitely is going to be the only way to 100% secure that, it seems like, you know, and that's one of the biggest concerns. But yes, in the cultivation aspect, as we start to get into that, you know, it's going to be ensuring the safety, you know, from the breathing conditions down to, you know, just the proper, you know, equipment for, you know, safety or PPE gear that needs to be for all these guys, you know, to, and girls to be able to, you know, live a long life and enjoy their job as well, you know.
So where do we stand with organizing in the Chicago area? Do you have a couple of wins here that you can speak about?
Yeah, so for the Chicagoland area, we have right now under contract, we have seven locations, two being the Mocha Ascend in the downtown area, and then the other five are the Verilife dispensaries that just ratified back at the end of April. And then we have 10 outstanding you know, locations between, I think, about three or four companies, you know, that are still going through their contract negotiations for their first contract.
How difficult is it to get that first contract? I know you probably have a couple of stories on that process. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's definitely not the easiest process. It really is dependent on how tight the group is inside and keeping their morale up. You know, you go through the union busting process, which is just, you know, whether it comes from management, there's surprisingly not as many anti-union workers, you know, in this industry. A lot of these guys are young workers that, you know, get it. They're fighting for a actual career. So, you know, they understand the need for the union and what we can bring for them. You know, but getting the first contract done, it has been an uphill battle, but, you know, once we do, you know, solidify it with the group, the change is night and day into what they gain becoming no longer an at-will employee to start, you know, and that's, you know, one of the main things that up until that point, we, you know, just try to keep the groups as, you know, protected as possible, you know, maintaining their status quo. But yeah, it's not easy, but it's doable, and you know we're showing that.
Can you tell us the difference here? I think it's important that people know the union difference. You know, when it comes to the numbers, I mean, if you take a look at a non-union job versus a union job, you usually see like about a 20% increase in pay and obviously better benefits. Can you reference or boil that down to the cannabis industry? You know, when it's non-union going union, can you give us some details on that?
Yeah, so I mean, some of the benefits will be yearly increases in wages. You know, on average, 20% is correct. You know, compared to you know where you would have seen in a 3-year time frame, right? Without union. Also, you know, there's other protections that go in. So you've got your progressive discipline policies that, you know, allow them to have to go, you know, if they're going to write you up for anything, you have to have it specifically go for whatever they're going to write you up for. So for attendance or if it's for a variance in your register or through your inventory, it has to stick. They can't just put everything into one. You know, we end up getting retirement benefits, you know, for them, contributions, matching, you know, and that's going to vary based on the company and negotiation, but that's definitely something that's needed. And it's a demand, you know, from, you know, majority of our workers, if not all, you know, hours of work. So, you know, ensuring that you're not just told you have to work and you have to have open availability for a whole entire month out. You know, where you can't really plan your life. And if you have children, it's even more difficult. So, you know, a seniority-based scheduling, you know, with that. So, like, not only will they have to have their schedule out in a set advanced time, but they also get to choose that schedule and when they work based on seniority, which, you know, depending on location to location, it's definitely not the case right now. The biggest, you know, gain, like I spoke about before, is the difference between being an at-will employee and being, you know, having a just-cause procedure. So, at will, you can basically be termed or fired for any reason that the company, you know, deems fit, as long as it's not discrimination, you know. And then with a just cause procedure, it allows, you know, us to, as the union, investigate any termination. And there is a step-by-step procedure that the company would have to, you know, go through and do in order for them to show that they have all standings to have this termination. Okay, and if at any point in time they don't do those steps, that last write-up or incident would get thrown out. And then we also have the right to go in and look at the, you know, employee's file and ensure that there, you know, any write-ups that they have, including that maybe last one that got them in this terminated position, are, you know, factual, you know, and then we can, you know, decide if this is the best, you know, route to go moving forward or if we need to come up with a remedy, you know, to whatever their disciplinary action that they gave was, right?
Sure. So you get a lot of protections, especially with the Teamsters backing you when you organize with the Teamsters. Chris, if you don't mind, by the way, we're speaking with Christopher Smith, and he's a business agent for Teamsters Local 777. Teamsters, plural, 777.org is their website, and they have about 3,000 brothers and sisters in the Chicago, Illinois area. Chris, I know you're very familiar with the union busting that's going on, and you know there's some companies. Look at Amazon. I mean, they go full throttle when it comes to union busting, and there's a number of companies in that category. How do we fare in the cannabis industry? Is it pretty brutal there?
It is. It definitely is. They decide. You know, the management. Sometimes they have people that will come in and, you know, actually be a spokesperson for these law firms that are anti-union law firms. You know, I've seen some, you know, salaries that these guys have gotten paid through their contract of upwards to what maybe 2 or 3 employees will make in an entire year for a month's worth of work. You know, so it's basically just putting out false news about the union that, you know, your dues would be exorbitant or, you know, basically that, you know, shaping us as an outside party when really the union is not the Teamsters as the local 777. It's the group of workers inside that building. So I'm not going to be any stronger than they are. Eventually what happens is that I, you know, through, you know, the chain of command, whether it's through the steward or it's through me directly, you know, we end up shaping the education for these workers so that they know their rights, whether it's just based on that contract for 3 years or it's going to be because we've explained to them what the National Labor Relations Act does for them. And that's how they end up moving forward with the, power and being able to have that. And then what we're doing in the cannabis industry is shaping this to where not only will we have it on the front end of the dispensaries, but eventually in the industry as a whole, to where, unlike some of these other industries that have been able to be manipulated and taken over, we can actually fight back in the right way, when needed, and also enjoy the product that, we're fighting to protect, So it's a little bit of a beautiful double-edged sword there, but it's definitely a movement that I don't think is going anywhere and is only gaining, support.
Chris, are you dealing with any cases right now where some cannabis workers got fired for trying to organize the, especially like the dispensaries, which you're working on right now? Do you have any cases like that with the NLRB?
Where they've gotten fired for organizing? Yeah, I mean, like we have had situations where I had a recent strike at the GTI where we have some outstanding charges with them. Not to get too much into detail, but definitely is going on. And know that if you are ever wrongfully terminated and going through the process of whether it's after the election or before the election, we will fight and ensure that it's, the remedy is made right. And if it's not us directly, it's going to be the arbitrator that oversees the case, right? So
sure. Well, you got some new leadership in the Teamsters. Sean O'Brien was elected, and he took office, I know, in March of last year. I know UPS is a main priority right now, and from what I hear, they're making some progress on this. I'm just wondering where cannabis figures in as far as priorities with the International Brotherhood of Teamsters. Are you getting a lot of information from International on this? And hey, Chris, let's get this done. Let's get a couple more stores organized with the Teamsters. Is that happening?
I can't tell you enough how much support Sean O'Brien and the entire International has gave, our local, specifically me. I was actually able to go out and do a business agent training in Washington, D.C., where I was able to go to the headquarters out there and go through a week's training on just, the basis of this job and beyond being in the field, right? But that was, awesome, being the first, cannabis business agent to be able to go there and experience that. Also, Sean O'Brien is quite the leader. We are very lucky to have him, and as militant as he is, and the whole character that he brings is what this country needs in a whole, with leadership. And so that being said, I do have 100% support from him, from the strike line to just day to day if needed. And that's one thing that I'm very humbled, as a 28-year-old male, coming in, is the leadership that I have above me, whether it's through the general president, the secretary treasurer of my, local, in the years of, experience they have under their belt, or it's through the general president where he may have just taken office, but he's made quite the impact. And especially on our youth movement, he makes it easy, in a sense, when you listen to him speak, reminds me a little bit of Barack Obama in a sense of where he can really move a crowd. Right. And that's what we need in order to get the education and knowledge out there to where the workers have more rights than what they, understand. And if we are able to move this together, this is really the fight of the separation of wealth in this country. We are just the infants, coming into the fight, but we're coming well prepared.
Yeah. Well, you know about the income divide in America. We got a lot of catching up to do, but it's good to have a strong leader at your back with Sean O'Brien. That's fantastic. Chris, did I hear you say you're 28 years old? Is that right? Did I hear that correctly?
Yeah, 94, baby.
Oh, my gosh. I'll tell you, when I was 28, I was definitely not as articulate as you. So my hat's off to you. You got a lot of energy, and obviously you got a powerful group with the Teamsters behind you. So you keep the faith. And keep doing what you're doing. I always say we got to move the needle in the right direction. And obviously, that's happening with Teamsters Local 777 in the Chicago area. Sure. So stay in touch with us, okay, brother?
Yeah, thank you. And anytime. I appreciate it. Thank you for having me on.
And that'll be it for another edition of America's Workforce. Tomorrow, another look at the Glacier case and the latest from the North Coast Labor Federation. Until then, all of you have a safe and wonderful day.
That concludes another episode of the America's Workforce Radio Podcast. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe so you never miss a show. America's Workforce is a production of Labor Tools and BMA Media Group. Find out more information online at labortools.com.